When systems go down, when tickets pile up, and your best tech walks out the door, what does all that really cost you? At CBT Nuggets, we help IT teams stay sharp, confident, and certified with online training that's built for the real world. From cybersecurity to cloud, our expert-led courses help your team close skill gaps before they turn into business risks. Invest in your team. Go to cbtnuggets.com/solutions and unlock training that makes your team sharper and your system stronger.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Rich Rebar here on the eve of Christmas Eve. This is our Christmas edition of our Picks Against the Spread show, where we got, I mean, just this weather shit, man. It's horrible. Like, I'm trying to keep a positive attitude because sitting and watching 7 hours of horrible football tomorrow is going to be brutal. I want one of these games to somehow become good. One of these outdoor games, but it's like, we literally have the lowest recorded total of any game in the modern history of the NFL on Saturday. Like, what are we doing?
I had made the joke that I was going to take a video of myself throwing a football so people could gauge whether they wanted to play anyone in that game. But I got to be honest with you, I ain't going outside.
No chance. Like,
I was like looking out my window today when I woke up, and I was just like, nope, not like the wind is swirling. Like, I've got stuff like these ornaments I caught my wife put up on the porch, and they're like spinning in circles. And I'm just like, nah, I ain't doing this. I'm going out there.
No, it's horrible.
Did you went
man.
Out today, and because you're in the Kansas City area, like near where people are going to want to play this Chiefs Seahawks game, which objectively looks
unbearable, dude. Unbearable. It's like people are playing Mahomes in DFS, and like it'll probably be fine. Like, he'll get his 303, but it is not going to be a shootout. They're like the Seahawks are not going to be, you know, doing their thing. There's not going to be a bunch of bombs. Like, it's horrible, man. It's horrible everywhere. I guess. You know, we're getting saved. We have indoor games with New York, Minnesota, and Philadelphia and Dallas on the main slate. So I guess we got that going for us, but it's not great, man. It's really not great. All right, man. Let's pick these games. Number one or number five. It's on you. Let's go.
I'm sorry with that game. I'm taking the Eagles and the points. Definitely, I thought the market overcorrected initially. Now it's swung back a little bit. People started to get the Eagles back. It swung to -6 when the news broke. And now it's at -4.5, which I think is really palatable for the Eagles to keep this close. I think we were talking Wednesday, and I believe the Eagles are going all out this game. And I think the Cowboys kind of have to, too, because you can't be the Cowboys. You can't lose this game with Dak Prescott to Gardner Minshew. And then have to maybe potentially beat the Eagles a third time in the playoffs. Like, that can't happen. Like, your morale would be an all-time low. But also, yeah, on the flip side, if you're the Eagles and you do beat Dak Prescott with Gardner Minshew, and now you're 2-0 against the Cowboys, you're going to be feeling like they can't beat you again. Like, there's no way. And the infrastructure of the Eagles, I think, is too good. I think the offensive line is too good if they want to be able to power run the football. The defense is still too good. And the Cowboys kind of have like the biggest deficiency in this game now at cornerback 2 and cornerback 3 with the injuries to Anthony Brown and Jordan Lewis. I mean, they had to remove Kelvin Joseph from the game last week because Trevor Lawrence just threw at him like 8 straight plays. I still look at the Eagles. I think there are going to be games. I feel like the Cowboys are going to edge this one out, but I think it's a field goal game at most.
Yeah. So this is why it can't be on my list is – I jumped on it like the second the rumors were like, oh, Jalen Hurts, MRI. Like, I bet the Cowboys right away at 3. So I can't, I'm not hedging against myself. But I mean, it feels like you could put, I don't know, Kenny Pickett in at quarterback for the Eagles, and they'd still probably be no worse than 3 points against the Cowboys on a neutral field. Like, the Eagles are just really good, right?
Yeah, that's basically what it is. And I think Minshew's functional.
Yeah, Minshew is pretty functional. I mean, I got no issue with that one. All right,
and this is a moment for Minshew too, because he's a free agent. So,
like, honestly,
pump them bags.
Gardner Minshew is going to get $14 million to be the starting quarterback of the New York Jets next year.
Got a chance to pump them bags. I mean, everyone. If you look at it again, the landscape is bad. Like, there's so many teams that need quarterbacks.
Yeah. All right, my number five is it's the Kansas City Chiefs at 10. Now, it opened at 10.5, but it's 10 everywhere now. You can get it at DraftKings, at FanDuel, Caesars, wherever. And I mean, it's the same deal. Like we've been, I think we've both done this each of the last 2 weeks. We've taken the Chiefs in these massive point spreads. But I mean, look, the Seahawks with no Tyler Lockett, Kenneth Walker's playing on a gimpy ankle. It's just like, I don't, it's a billion, you know, it's negative a billion degrees outside. I actually think the Chiefs should be fine running the ball here. Probably they're just, you know, give it to Pacheco a bunch in the second half. And I mean, maybe the Seahawks can score some points here, but like the Chiefs are great on offense and their defense is horrible. So these teams that are going to end up getting close to them are going to be the teams that are like, fuck it, we don't care. Like, let's just chuck the ball. And I don't think the Seahawks are going to come in and throw the ball 40 times in -4 degree weather. So I think I would really like this at 9.5. Obviously, it's not going to get there. So I got them at 10 right here.
It could be a lot of running for the Chiefs. The Seahawks run defense has really struggled. Since week 9, they're 30th in yards per carry allowed to running backs. They've allowed a league high 920 rushing yards to running backs over that span. And over that span, they've rushed for 662 fewer yards than their opponent. And that includes a bye week. They're number one in the NFL in differential. So they haven't covered in 5 straight games either, the Seahawks. It's not on my list, but I mean, I'm not mad at you. I'm not really touching any of these weather games.
I mean,
I'll probably bet some, I'm going to bet some game totals on them.
Yeah. But I think for those of you who are grinding the underdog streets and the same game parlay streets, I do like just basically doing these parlays with the idea that like the game total is wrong. So either way, right? Going into New York, Minnesota and I guess that's a bad one because it's not a weather one. Going into Cincinnati, New England, taking all the unders, right? Or going into Houston, Tennessee and taking all the overs and just saying, you know, the meteorologist, the forecast get one wrong or whatever that is. I'll probably do a couple of those to keep myself entertained on Christmas Eve. All right, that's both of our number fives. What is your number four, sir?
My number four is the Falcons. Another one where I just think the line is too big. They've only lost 2 games by more than 6 points this year. And this Ravens team can't score. So the one, and also this is another game where the weather is not like so much the wind or anything, but like it's going to be a running game. And the Falcons have shown they run on everybody. It doesn't matter. So I'm not counting on Desmond Ridder to really light anything up here, but also Tyler Huntley is clearly not going to light anything up on the other side. And I think we've got just 2 really good run teams and the Falcons are going to keep this basically within a touchdown for sure, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, this, I don't think I realized that this was 6.5. So this one isn't on my list, but I might be pulling an audible here. I mean, that is unbelievable. What have the Baltimore Ravens done to be 6.5 point favorites over anyone? Like, that's insane. Yeah. I guess I should put this one on my list. I think I'm going to bet this one anyways, although absolutely disgusting to have to bet on.
Yes. Oh,
Desmond Ridder.
This is a bet to watch for sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, the run game's good. I mean, they've shown that they're going to run on everybody and kind of keep games kind of close, even though they're bad, but hey.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're definitely right.
Oh my God. We have a 2-year sample now of running with the Ravens without Lamar Jackson. And they have been absolutely horrendous in both of those samples. Like, I mean, if that doesn't get Lamar his bags, I don't know what really is, because the Tyler Huntley experience, and granted it's not all him because the environments he's been placed in both years, but they literally cannot score. Since week 10, they're dead last in the NFL in points per drive. They're 32nd in the league in touchdown rate per drive. It's bad, man. It's bad.
All right. My number four, you gotta plug your nose. This is probably also a bet and don't watch, but it's the Tennessee Titans -3 points over the Houston Texans. I mean, basically just like the Texans should be start as a touchdown dog to every team in the NFL, right? I don't care who the Jets, right? I would bet the Jets that we saw last night -3 over the Texans. They are so bad. And I know they played tight against Kansas City and Dallas in back-to-back weeks. So I think the market is giving them some respect. They have got, I think, 5 recovered fumbles the last 2 weeks. They've gotten some huge special teams plays. Like, this is not a recipe for consistently winning games. And I know Malik Willis is going to have at least one play that has me pulling my hair out in this game. But basically, you just like the Titans are going to run the ball for 300 yards. They're going to jam it down this awful Texans defense. You just don't feel good about the Titans either because the Titans also stink. But the Texans really stink.
You know what we do feel good about? The Jaguars to win the AFC South bet we talked about all the way back in week 9.
Yes, we do feel good about it.
We do feel good about that. It was on this show is when we uncovered that.
We uncover gems here on the program. That's what we do. All right, man, you're next. What is your number three?
All right, so my three is stinky. It's the Broncos.
This is my two.
Okay, yeah, very stinky. But it's less than a field goal against Baker Mayfield and this Rams. Because the one thing about this is, like, when you say unequivocally, what does this game have going for it? Like, the Broncos defense is really good. And we saw that, like, last week when they faced a really bad quarterback, like in Colt McCoy and then Trace McSorley. Like,
and there have been positive signs from an offensive perspective from them.
Yeah, there is a mild regression.
Mild regression. There we go.
There is mild. They actually have in the red zone since week 10, they're 80% in the red zone. The Broncos, second in the NFL. Remember, they were 35% prior. It was the worst in the league. So there has been some mild regression there. But really, it just comes down to, I don't think the Rams are going to score a touchdown in this game. If they do, maybe they score one. So, I mean, less than a field goal feels like a gift right now to bet against the Rams.
So, I mean, the reason why this was my two is, like, Baker has had one good drive as a quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams. And
Of 2022, sure.
And it's like the Rams are – it's just like you reach a point of no return where you're so hurt. You have so few guys. Like, now Skowronek is out for the year. It's like we got Brandon Powell and Lance McCutcheon are playing big roles on – like, it's just – They have just gone too far, and the Broncos are probably going to get Sutton back this week. Like, they're going to be close to their original personnel. Russell Wilson should be good to go this week. And obviously, like, you don't feel good taking a road favorite. Although, if you want to get on narrative street, you can go back and remember all those times the Seahawks would beat the Rams when the Rams were really good, right? When the Rams were kind of peaking, and the Seahawks would always kind of get them into those rock fight games. And Russell, I don't know. I'm just spinning narratives to support the position of taking the Broncos as a road favorite. But yeah, I mean, you gotta, I feel pretty good about that one.
I mean, less than a field goal is the line. Like, if it was three or something, like, maybe I would be, but it's less than a field goal. I'll tell you what, I don't think there's a team in the NFL outside maybe the Texans I would not lay less than a field goal against this version of the Rams right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's basically where I start and stop.
Yeah. Okay. So then I have my number three and my number one left. All right. So my number three is in your neck of the woods. I'm taking the Browns -3. Basically just under the idea that game is going to be so bad, but the only hope that the Saints would have had, I think, would have been to throw the ball. Like, they've been so bad running the ball with Kamara, and they're going to try and bring, like, Taysom is going to be involved, basically just taking the home team in the blizzard. And I think the Browns are, like, a way better rushing offense. And I actually think it helps them. Another part of the argument here is I actually think it helps the Browns that they're not going to be throwing any forward passes in this game because Deshaun Watson has been so dreadful. Like, just give Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt the ball 45 times and you should be able to get out of there and I think Olave and Landry are both not playing for the Saints. Like, we're heading into, you know, Traquan Swift, Marquez Callaway, you know, catching passes on trick plays from do not watch this game. This is going to be one of the least watchable games in NFL history, but I got the Browns here.
I think people, because it's the lowest total ever, might come for the car crash.
They could
The Saints haven't had a run of 20 or more yards since week 6. By far the longest drought in the NFL, so I don't even know if the Browns defense can help them in that regard, right? Like, they just haven't known the run really at all. This game is gross. So gross. I think someone posted the receiving totals in this game, right? And the highest line is Amari Cooper at like 34 and a half.
Horrible. Horrible, man. Yeah. I just like, how is this being allowed? Yeah.
I mean, honestly, just, yeah, it shouldn't be allowed. I wonder, like, I don't know. I feel like the NFL is just like, there's nothing they can do to damage their product, I guess, but like, holy shit, this weekend might challenge it.
Yeah.
Like on Christmas Eve, like all of these just terrible weather games, like
all of our in-laws watching these games.
But like, you know, families are gonna be like playing games or like, you know, drinking, having social lives. Like, I mean, and like, what's gonna pull them away? Like this?
Maybe I won't even watch. Maybe, you know, we're gonna put Red Zone on and I'm gonna be like, dude, put this on mute. Like, I don't even. Because this is what we will have going in the early games. We have one game with a total above 38, I believe, and that is New York. That is New York, Minnesota, which could, by the way, just end up. You know, people are going to play Daniel Jones. People are going to play Darius Slayton and Richie James. Kirk Cousins is going to be the most owned quarterback in the main slate. I mean, that game could just end up being awful too, because the Giants' offense is held together by, you know, duct tape and wires. Like, it's barely a functional offense.
It does feel like everyone in that game from a DFS perspective is going to kind of get pumped higher than they should.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just going into, so I'm going into the Saturday main slate saying I'm going to lose this like 95% of the time, but I'm not playing 18% on Kirk Cousins. I'm not playing 17% on Richie James. Like, I will just take a chance on some of these outdoor dudes.
Yeah, I'm looking at the projected rostership right now on the RotoGrinders app, and Darius Slayton is projected to be the third highest rostered wide receiver.
Not good.
Probably all we need for a selling point for this slate, huh?
Yeah, 100%. Okay, so we have my number one.
Your three?
Yes, yeah.
I'll take the Bengals at my two here, and
this is dude, that's my one.
And you lost the hook on this. It's a flat three everywhere.
Why do you think this is the line? Do you think it's because of weather stuff, or like, is there a Bengals injury we don't know about?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Or just big picture stuff, I guess, for the Patriots. But if you look at the Patriots, and I know we've brought it up on this show before, and I brought it up a bunch of other times throughout the course of the season, is that just look at any time the Patriots have played a remotely functional quarterback this year. Like, they've been absolutely awful. You know, they've gotten beat by Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, like literally any functional quarterback. And then look at all the Patriots wins, like where they come from. Colt McCoy, Zach Wilson twice, Sam Ellinger, Jacoby Brissett, and then they got Goff in a game where Goff didn't even have Amon-Ra St. Brown or anybody. This Patriots team isn't good, and Mac Jones is awful, and it's not Mac Jones' fault, maybe per se, because literally Matt Patricia is the Patriots offensive coordinator. I feel like that it's absurd, and everyone knows that it's absurd, but like, I feel like that's not being
it hasn't really been recognized enough just how insane that is.
It's in it, like. That should, like, I know Bill Belichick's built up this amazing Hall of Fame career, and he's arguably the greatest coach of all time. I feel like that is a fireable offense that they walked into the season with this scenario. Like, even thinking that it was acceptable to have Matt Patricia be the offensive coordinator.
Do you think that Bill just looked at this roster and was like, what's the point? Like, what's the point of giving the, like,
no,
do you
because
think
Mac Jones was good with Josh McDaniels last year? Like,
so are you holding out hope for Mac Jones?
Not really, because I don't think he's the kind of quarterback I want to hold out hope for. I just feel like his archetype of quarterback just isn't what works in today's NFL. But like, he was a lot better last year than he was. Dude, that game he played last week against the Raiders was one of the worst games I've ever seen a quarterback play. His completion percentage versus expectation was worse than Trace McSorley's last week. He had a wide open Jonnu Smith, like the first drive of the game, like standing in the end zone, and dude sailed it. At one point in the game, he was like 11 of 23 for 65 yards. And we're talking about the Raiders, dude. The Raiders. The Raiders defense is getting flooded by everybody. They just gave up that drive to Baker Mayfield you talked about. Like, I mean, this Patriots situation, like, I feel like it's not being acknowledged as how like terrible this decision was to enter the season like this. It should cost Belichick his job, I believe. It won't.
I mean, it obviously it won't. But I mean, even going back, it's partly fed into by bad decisions they made last year, though. Like giving Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry and Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne all this money, trading a third round pick for Devontae Parker, who's been like one of the most useless players in the NFL. It's I don't know, man. And I mean, where it really gets interesting is when you start looking at Bill Belichick's record when the greatest quarterback of all time was not starting games at quarterback for him. It's like it gets pretty spicy. But yeah,
I mean, like people though are like very flippant about the Patricia thing. They're like, it's like a joke, right? It should be like, is an absurdity that this was allowed to happen.
I mean, it does, it like literally, it feels like dereliction of duty, basically, of like being like, yeah, no, it's fine, Matt Patricia, we'll call the plays. It's like, I don't know, did Belichick and the Patriots think it would work? Did they think it doesn't matter because Josh McDaniels is going to get fired by the Raiders and be back next year? Like, what was the plan? What was the thought process?
I really would love to know, because to me, it is just an absolute insane. It's insanity.
Hey, by the way, gold star lock of the year, the worst line I've ever seen, the Bengals versus the Buccaneers.
How did you feel, though, when it was 17-0? Because I bet it, too.
To be honest, was not worried, man. Was not worried. The Buccaneers stink, dude. They're it's so... I mean, and Brady did that press conference where he was like, yeah, you know, Bulls and Leftwich said, it's on us to figure it out, right? It's on us. We got to figure it out. And they didn't figure it out, man. They didn't figure it out. And by the way, I mean, honestly, I was pretty tempted to put Arizona plus 8 points on my list here, because
Cliff plus Trace McSorley was too much for you.
Well, the thing is that Trace is kind of that genre of quarterback that I kind of like to bet on, you know, kind of the Joe Webb, you know, like, not a good thrower, but has stuck around the end. The Tyler Huntley, you know, very similar. Like, he's going to run around, but the exact guy you trust to not figure that situation out is Cliff, right? Cliff is just going to be like, all right, Trace, go play like Colt McCoy. You know, there's not going to be any design stuff. There's going to be no zone. It's just going to be drop, you know, 5-step dropbacks or whatever. Like, it's going to be horrible. And the Buccaneers defense is still good, but. Yeah, odd for me to be
routes to DeAndre Hopkins.
Very odd for me to have the Bengals on my list 2 weeks in a row as a number one. Gotta say, that's probably never happened before.
Back to back Zach Taylor weeks.
But I mean, the Patriots are just, they're pitiful, man. All right. So that was my number one. We got it done.
Did you have your two, or we did your two?
We did my two. So we got your number one left. That's it.
Yeah, my number one is the Cover Gods, the Lions.
Yeah, I can't do this.
No.
So here's the thing. You gotta know this about Jared Goff. This man is not built for this. No chance am I ever betting Jared Goff in 30 degrees, howling winds. Like, Jared Goff, born in California, went to college in California. He's got very small hands. He has one of the biggest pop gun arm, like, as in his arm is a pop gun, not he's got a big arm. He is not built for this, dude.
This game has no win stuff that I see.
Does it? I guess I'm just assuming.
It is colder, but there's not supposed to be any wind issue at all in this game.
I mean, I bet the Jets last week. Now, I thought Mike White was starting that game.
So under,
just under the idea that Jared Goff can't play in these circumstances.
But he's fine, and he was fine last week.
He was fine.
It was more matchup based, and he doesn't really have that this week against Carolina, who's solid defensively, but nowhere near what the Jets are. And listen, I'm a Lions believer. I'm a believer in this offense. They're pushing. Ben Johnson's pushing all the right buttons. I'm not a believer in the Carolina Sam Darnold experience, which has not been good. But somehow they have snuck by and just run the ball at like a 60% rate, and people think it's acceptable. But he's been awful. He's completed just 59% of his passes since he's been the starting quarterback. That's 28th in the league. His expected completion rate over that span is last in the NFL over those 3 weeks. So yeah, I just really don't believe him. We might get the Panthers in the playoffs too, which is pretty wild to think about. A team that could start at Baker Mayfield, Philip Walker, and Sam Darnold still is.
They can't possibly, right? The Buccaneers are going to figure it out.
We keep saying that, but yeah, you're probably right, because the Buccaneers probably win this week, right?
Well, and so Buccaneers, Panthers in week 17 might be a win and you're in.
Yeah.
Man, have you started doing any of these playoff contests yet on Underdog or anything?
I have not.
So it's pretty interesting. So like last year, obviously the way you won it was by going all in on the Bengals when they were like 40% to make the play, 'cause they had to beat the Chiefs. And it's kind of interesting right now, the Jaguars are setting up to be that spot where it's like when the contest opened, they were way out of it. And now they're like favored to win the division. But then the NFC South is the same deal. There might be like the Falcons or the Panthers or shit, I guess the Saints, which is insane. I mean, any of these teams could still make it. Like Tom Brady like goes undrafted in a lot of them, which is sort of interesting.
And you could totally see a scenario where the Bucs get into the playoffs, right? And they play like the Giants in week one.
Horrible, man. Right? Are the are the Giants still favored to make the playoffs at this point?
Yeah, they're like the Giants are basically in.
Wow. Yeah. I guess they are.
The Giants are basically in. It's basically down to Seattle, Washington, Detroit for that last spot. And Washington
Who do we want to see in, I guess, is the question. Yeah, Seattle.
Because they're just at least watchable. Like they have like they could there's like an outcome where like Seattle can score points, whereas well, I would say I'd be fine with Detroit too. I shouldn't say that. Detroit obviously can score points too. Not Washington is the answer.
Do you know that kind of what's interesting is that there's been all this fluff about the Dolphins and McDaniel and everything. They are like in real threat of not making the playoffs now because they have 8 wins. They play home. I guess if they win this game this weekend against the Packers, they should be in. But they're drawing way thinner to not making it than they should have been. Tough scene for McDaniel.
Yeah, I was trying to see what the Dolphins 538 has the Dolphins. Now there's 78% chance to make the playoffs.
I think it's because they have this game because the NFL is smart. They have these games against the Jets and the Patriots where a bunch of their win equity for not making the playoffs would come.
So if I give them a loss, and this is the 538 model, if I give them a loss to Green Bay this week, it still is 63%.
It's because I'm wrong. I was looking at it wrong. It's because their direct competition is probably one of those two teams, the in terms of like eliminating them.
Yeah. Washington is right now 34%, but I don't think that they're going to win a game the rest of the year, right? They play at San Francisco. Then they are home against Cleveland. So that's winnable. Then they play Dallas the last.
And Dallas will probably want to win that game.
I would think so.
I mean, it is crazy. Like I think the playoff picture gets pretty crazy if the Eagles lose this game to the Cowboys, because then the Cowboys and the Vikings can at least dream on getting the one seed. Like they're not going to get it, but they could dream on it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably safe. The Vikings probably think that they got a shot, but nah. I mean, even if I give the Eagles a loss in their model, it still has them 96% for the first round bye. Like they're probably pretty safe.
I mean, what can you do?
You're saying there's a chance, but listen, right now, as of this morning, the Jaguars are 69% to make the playoffs, and oh, buddy, that plus 650.
It's beautiful, man. Where are you at? Where are you at on I was thinking of this one today. I've been trying to frame the right way to tweet it for max engagement. Justin Herbert versus Trevor Lawrence moving forward. Who you got? Because I think it's so interesting, right? Two years ago, Trevor Lawrence gets drafted. You're like, I don't know, sight unseen, I probably take Lawrence. Then you watch Lawrence for a year. Herbert goes nuts last year, 38 touchdowns, like looks great. People are like, Trevor Lawrence, guy stinks, bust. Justin Herbert, greatest quarterback of all time. And now I think the pendulum would have gone the other way where people are like, Lawrence is a winner, bro. It's 10 degrees in East Rutherford. He doesn't care. He's coming out with the win.
Well, I think we've definitely seen the public turn on Justin Herbert this year. Obviously, we just lived through that two weeks ago on Sunday night. Even with him, playing well, there's definitely a public perception on him that he's not a winner, right? Everyone brings up his record as a quarterback. I don't know. From a tools perspective, I would rather have Herbert though. I mean, yeah, I would. There's not many quarterbacks I would take over him for what he offers. I think this year was for the Chargers, just everything kind of compounded on itself. They basically played the whole year until this point without Mike Williams or Keenan Allen, one of them, sometimes both, loses 3/5 of their starting offensive line, still saddled with no wide receivers that like are fast at all. And then Joe Lombardi calling the shots underneath all of that. So I don't know. I still believe in Herbert, the talent for sure. I would definitely not waver on that at all. I think it's pretty ludicrous we were ever even putting Tua in the same conversation with him.
Yeah, I mean the Tua the height of Tua mania has already passed. It'll never get that high again.
No.
It's like there was like that month period where they were just beating up on everyone and score. They beat the Bills, right? And it's this big deal, and it's all gone now. I mean, we're back to acknowledging Tua for who he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tua is a really solid quarterback for the things he does well, but from a tools perspective, he just doesn't have that ceiling as those guys have, right? Like, he just doesn't have that in him, and it's not his fault. He's really good at what he has to work with.
And, you know, I mean, I think probably 10 years ago, Tua could have won the Super Bowl or whatever. I think
he could in this day and age, you know, the way it is. It's just he probably can't rattle off multiple ones.
Would have to be a perfect storm. I mean, I guess the big issue for him is it's like, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna go on the road and win 2 out of 3 against the Bills, Bengals, and the Chiefs?
I mean, if you're a quarterback in the AFC like Tua, I mean, you're gonna be punching up for the next decade. Because Mahomes and Allen aren't going nowhere, Burrow's not going nowhere. You brought up Lawrence, you still have Herbert over there. Like, these are all young guys, and Lamar is still like gonna be in the mix, you know, when he gets healthy. So like, you're gonna always be punching up. I mean, the NFC is wild.
How many people know that Joe Burrow is 26? What do you think the line is on people that understand? He's 2 years older than Tua. Isn't that wild?
Yeah, it's crazy. But I mean, no, everyone, you know, kind of forgets about that stuff outside of prospect season, right?
Yeah, like he's older than Lamar, who I think was drafted 3 years before him, which is, I mean, it's just kind of one of those really interesting.
But you don't mind as much right now because he can just play at least 40.
No, yeah, you don't give a shit now. But it was a thing when he was a prospect that I remember.
What is the thing with Kenny Pickett still too?
Oh, Kenny Pickett is older than Tua.
Yeah.
That is so funny, man.
I mean, the
no, he's not. He's not. I lied. They are 80 days apart. Pickett is 80 days younger than Tua.
But I mean, the Steelers are going to be kicking this thing down, and he's going to already be what, like a development quarterback at like age 27. It's going to be a thing still, because they'll probably get a new offensive coordinator.
I mean, they are just going to move on from him, right? Is Kenny Pickett next year? You don't think so?
No, I bet Kenny Pickett is the starting quarterback for the Steelers next year. They're winning games. They were winning games before he had this concussion, and he wasn't turning the ball over, which Tomlin, you know, is going to talk himself into saying, I can win that structure of football, because he was doing it.
Right.
Like, that's right. Like, this is the most Tomlin finish ever again, right? The Steelers are doing it again. This is like what they do under Mike Tomlin. They're the alligator blood team.
How many teams are going to have a different quarterback next year?
I mean, we can just quickly run it easy. Jets for sure.
Jets.
Right? Just going down the divisions. Definitely Jets. Definitely the Titans. Definitely Colts. The Colts. Definitely the Texans.
Definitely the Texans.
Maybe the Raiders, but that's probably no one in the AFC West, but maybe the Raiders have a shot. And then in the NFC, Washington for sure.
And New York. Daniel Jones.
I don't think so.
Back.
No, I think they're going to have to bring Daniel
Jones.
He's
been so bad. Like, I know they're winning games.
But I think they're in a box where they're going to have to do like a short-term extension with him, kind of like how Jameis got, because they just won't have alternatives. And then they'll probably draft a guy in like the second or third round, right? And they'll probably do like a short-term. That's what I think they're going to have to do. But Washington for sure. Maybe Green Bay. Definitely.
No, so Kevin Cole told me this the other day, which
is
that
contract is just too much.
Well, I was like, well, why doesn't Roger just retire? Like, he's not having any fun playing or whatever. You know, clearly he's miserable. But I was shocked by this. A dude can retire and his salary still counts against your books. Like, so Rogers retires and that gnarly cap hit still kills the Packers.
Only if I don't know if that's 100% true. Is it
100%? It's probably not 100% true. Like, there's probably I and again, Kevin knows way more.
I think
about
the only part that counts is that the prorated guaranteed stuff.
Well, it's like, and there was a way to alter it with like a post June 1st designation or whatever. Again, I mean, Kevin obviously knows more than I do. Because
I'm pretty positive it's the dead stuff is what, like, the prorated stuff. But his salary wouldn't, like, his actual salary. It's just all the prorated guarantees are on your books still. That's what stays. Yeah. But so either way, we won't count them. But Tampa Bay, yes. Carolina, yes. Saints, yes. Falcons, yes. The entire NFC South is getting a new quarterback. And then probably nobody in the NFC West if Stafford's coming back.
That's a lot of teams.
It's a whole bunch of teams.
That's a whole bunch of teams. Yeah.
And there's only really, in like, from a prospect stance, there's only like two guys. And the top two guys, I don't even think are like as standout as like we've had in years past.
No. They're like major questions about Stroud and Bryce Young. But also,
and Will Levis, and
he's going to go really high. Now the guy we're all going to love is going to be Richardson, right? We're all going to be like, this fucking Richardson guy. He's the best. I mean, he is an unbelievable runner. Anthony Richardson is. He is crazy. So I mean, he's not going to start next year, but I kind of hope he does.
But isn't the next year, the following year, is supposed to be really good again, right?
Well, it always is, right?
Yeah. You're right. That's great. Yeah.
So it's like this last year with Pickett and Corral, and everyone's like, yeah, but wait for Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, bro.
You're right. 100%.
Wait for Caleb Williams. As long as I've been following like dynasty and prospects and stuff, it's never not been the case. But like 2023 first round picks in dynasty leagues have been treated like worth their weight in gold. It's like you can't get one, and then in the end it's going to be like Bijan Robinson and then a bunch of dudes who are coin flips to be good.
Yep, that's 100% what it's going to be. But these 2023 picks still are gold. If you got them,
got them, you can get it. Like, go trade for AJ Brown right now, because you could probably get him.
Yeah, if you don't have, if you're not drawn for the 101, if you're not drawn for Bijan,
yeah,
then you're in the bag and a bunch of stuff. But definitely big time quarterback movement this offseason, and it's gonna be fun to kind of see where guys go. I mean, especially like you see with the Jets, I mean, they have to, like, this is a Josh Rosen situation 100%. I mean, you cannot get benched in a game for Chris Trebler.
I don't think people understand. Like, Chris Trebler,
they brought him up from the practice squad too. It's not even like he wasn't working with the team. I think they brought him up because of the weather, right? They were like, the weather is going to be shitty. We can call some QB runs.
I mean, Chris Strebler was not even a particularly good CFL quarterback. Yeah. Like, he was like a fine, you know, CFL quarterback. No,
he's Tattoo Tebow, man. Like, the dude is just a mountain. Of a man.
I'm glad he's in the NFL, though. Yes. Like, I like when dudes who smash in the CFL come and play in the NFL, like Duke Williams and stuff. Like, I thought all that, like, I think that's cool.
Absolutely.
But all right, man, there we go. Merry Christmas. Tell the people Sharp Football, what can they get? How can they keep themselves entertained as it's negative a million degrees outside?
Listen, the worksheet's still up. I got two more weeks of posting the worksheet, breaking down these games. I do the playoff games too, but those aren't like any subscription. Those are just open. I'm pretty sure they're going to be open. I don't know. Years past, they have been. Warren's rolled out his playoff stuff and his college bowl pick stuff. Just stay inside. Everyone stay warm. I know people have to get to their families at some point this weekend, but make them come to you. Stay inside.
Yeah, put that off. Put that off as long as possible.
Stay inside. Watch a lot of bad football. Bet on it to make yourself feel better about the bad football, and then be extra angry when you bet on football, lost bad football, and watch bad football.
nothing worse than losing the bad football bet. We're just like, what's the point, man?
Existence gets questioned, but hey.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Hope y'all stay safe. Hope y'all stay warm. And I'll see you back. Remember, we're on Monday. The Gilcast is on Monday, and we're taking listener questions to spice it up, since it'll be 48 hours after the main slate. So we'll see y'all then.